Working on the sermon this week, I realized that I would say my resistance, or let's say the beginning of my expressing my resistance to kind of typical ways of thinking about feminine and masculine qualities began way back when I was in high school. I can remember being in a religion class. Those of you who know me knew I grew up Roman Catholic and went to Catholic school. Also happened to be in all boys school, 3,000 of us in the school. And so I was in a religion class where the teacher, who was a priest, was talking about kind of qualities of men and women. And so he went to the blackboard, drew a line down the middle, wrote men on this side and women on this side, and then asked all the boys to, you know, speak out what are the qualities or the characteristics that belong, you know, in the different groups. And so the guys started giving a variety of things out, and all of them kind of falling along a pretty typical lines that you would expect. And it started to really concern me. And I wasn't offering my particular items at the time, but I decided I'm going to raise my hand. And so he called them, and I said, are you trying to tell me that, like, this list only belongs to men, you know, and this list are only expressed by women? Because if so, then I have a problem, because as I look at that list, I see a number of those characteristics and qualities from both sets in my own life. So what's that say about me? Well, I'd say, in retrospect, I'd say that says I was a bit more mature than some of the other guys in my class. Actually, I probably thought that at the time as well. One of the problems that we run into with the language, even in terms of the primary kind of description of God as Father and Jesus as Son, which obviously God has given us because it captures something really important to us about the nature of God. But we make some wrong conclusions when we think in those terms at times, that maybe God can only relate as a father to women or as a brother to women. And we miss some things that God actually says about himself and qualities that he chooses to use to describe who he is and even how he experiences us as his people. Many of those where he chooses language that is characteristic of both mothers and then women in general, even to the point of, I would say, using female anatomy to describe how he thinks about his children and how they relate to him. And so what I'd like to do this morning is I want to look at some of the scriptures and that just kind of describe some of the more, and I'll get to this a little bit later, but I'd say more some of the more feminine qualities of God, and particularly those that are part of being a mother that he uses to describe himself and how he relates to his people. And then I want to talk a little bit about kind of how do these, you know, come together, masculine and feminine qualities as far as God, and maybe what it means a little bit for us. So just kind of looking through some, and we'll go down. I may make a few comments about some of these. So one thing we see is that God, I would say God knows what it is to carry a child in the womb. Because in Isaiah 46, 3 to 4, he speaks in these terms. He says, "You who have been born by me from birth and have been carried from the womb, even to your old age I will be the same, and even to your graying years I will bear you. I have done it, and I will carry you." Now, I have no clue whatsoever in any fashion what it is like to actually carry a child within you. And yet, as God is trying to explain the kind of relationship that he has with his people, his children, he says, "I've carried you in my womb." Now, you know, we don't know exactly how to explain that. We know that God is spirit. But I think one of the things we need to capture is he understands what it is like not only to be a mother, but to bear children and what goes with that. And I think it's interesting that he says, not only did I bear you in my womb, but I've been carrying you like all your life, even to the point when you're graying, you know, when you're getting old, I still carry you. And I think in some way, every parent, especially every mother, knows your children never like grow out of your concern and sense of responsibility and care for them. No matter how old they are, they're still your children, and you still sense this unique responsibility for them and the sense that you are carrying their life. As much as they may wish you would let go, you know, at times, it's just kind of impossible to do in some ways. And God says, I'm like that. That's how I experience you. Another one, it says God, where we see that God both nurses and comforts his children. It says in Isaiah 66, 12 and 13, you will nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. So not only does God experience himself and us as a mother who gives birth to us and as such, you know, conceives our life and carries us in her womb, but when we are born, he sees that he is the one who nurses us and provides that nourishment and sustenance that we need at the beginning of our lives to be able to survive, to live, to actually grow and carry on. And like a mother would its newborn, he says, I comfort you. I can't remember if I have this. Let me read this too. Hosea 11:4. I like this verse. It says, I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. To them, I was like one who lifts a little child to the cheek. I bent down to feed them. You know, for me, just a personal experience of my own, I remember when our son John Mark was born, which now is over 34 years ago. But John Mark was actually delivered by a C-section. And in those days, the hospital we happened to be at, they did not let the father in there while they performed a C-section. So I'm out in the lobby. But as soon as he is born, I hear this baby crying and screaming really loud. And so I know that he's come into the world. And then all of a sudden, at some point, silence. Like, what's going on? And when I finally get to see Donna, she's like, it was amazing. He came out and he's crying and crying and crying. And they handed him to me. And I put his little face to my cheek. And the second his face touched my cheek, he just stopped crying immediately. And God says, that is how I am with you. I know what that feels like. I am like a mother who brings its child to its cheek and just holds her close. And she feels that peace and that comfort that comes from the presence of the one who's carried her for 9 months in her womb. And now has a unique ability to comfort her because she knows her presence. And God says, I'm like that. I've experienced that. I do that with you. It says, God always has his children on his mind. Isaiah 49:15 says, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. You know, one of the things I highlighted these in my own text, because most of the examples I have here is God depicting himself as a mother and sharing in the experience that's unique to moms. But when you see some of the words that he uses in these texts too, it's language that typically we assign to women as kind of more dominant qualities in their lives. Things like comfort, kindness, love, compassion, not forgetting. And I'm not saying, and I'll say more about that, that men never experience any of these things. What I would say is there are certain qualities we typically refer to as feminine or masculine, just in general, tend to be more dominant qualities in men or women. But clearly, all of them are experienced by God and are part of how he sees us and relates to us and even cares for us. And And I think, especially for women, you really have to take into consideration what you know about God and how you understand him, that he would describe himself as having a womb and carrying you. That he describes himself as having breasts, that he nurtures his children. None of us guys can claim that. None of us guys can relate to that, can experience that. But women, that is unique to you, and God shares in those very qualities and experiences. Now, like, though she may forget, meaning his daughter, I think here, I'll not forget you. And I don't know about you guys. My family thinks, like my parents, they think of all my brothers and sisters that I am the most amazing of all of them. And part of the reason is because they get calls from me all the time. They get birthday cards, anniversary cards, Christmas cards, Mother's Day cards. What they don't know is it's because Donna. Now, they may suspect it, but they've never said it. And they always thank me for remembering, because my other brothers don't remember for sure. There seems to be this more general quality of remembering those important things about family that women carry. And I'm not saying that there aren't probably men out here that are just as good. I'm just not one of them. But God is like that. He doesn't forget. Like kids are on their mom's mind all the time. You are on God's mind. And this is connected. God's like a mother hovering over her young children. It says in Deuteronomy 32, 10 and 11, he shielded him and cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of his eye, like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, that spreads its wings to catch them and carries them aloft. Now, probably, guys, we may make fun of our wives and women more because they do tend to hover more over the kids. They're always keeping an eye, watching what's going out, and they blame us guys of being a little oblivious at times. You know, so where is Selah? I don't know. She was playing. But moms and the women have a tendency to stay conscious of their kids and to stay aware of what's going on around them, who's in need. And even women in general just tend to be more aware of who's in the room, who's engaged, who's not. By engaged, I mean, you know, people are interacting with them, talking with them. Who needs to be in conversation? Who seems to be by themselves? God is like that. That is a quality characteristic of God. He hovers. God sees himself like a midwife. It says in Psalm 22, 9 and 10, yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth, I was cast on you. From my mother's womb, you have been my God. So, you know, God applies even diverse images, you know, from different perspectives and directions from women. On the one hand, he could say, I'm your mother, and I bore you in my womb, and I nursed you at my breast. But he can also say, I'm the midwife who was there and made sure you were born healthily. And coming from your mother's womb, it was me who then you were given to take care of you. God experiences I read it this way, the fury of a mother. Oh, watch out when a mother gets mad about what somebody's doing with their kids. Hosea 13, 8, like a bear robbed of her cubs, I will attack them and rip them open, he says. I remember one time when our son John Mark was in school, I think he was in middle school, and he rode the bus in those days. And one of his friends was with him on the bus, and some bully said something to John Mark, like, did you call me that? And his friend said, yeah, he did. And so the guy went back, punched John Mark, you know, as hard as he could in the stomach, making him cry and all. John Mark comes home, tells us that this happened and that his friend said that he, you know, said this. And Donna is on the phone to the boy's mother. Next thing I know, the boy's mom and the boy are coming to my house for a conversation about what happened and what he did. But are you crazy? But you don't want to mess with the mom's kids. And God says, I understand that. I think like that. I feel like that about my children. I am really protective of them. I guard them and I look out after them. And I don't like people messing with them. I took one example with Jesus. And, you know, there's plenty others we could have drawn from. Just how Jesus' heart broke for his children. And obviously, we've talked about how Jesus is the exact representation of God. And so what you see in Jesus, you know, is what you get in the Father. It's what you get in God. It's who he is. And this famous verse, Luke 13:34, how often I've longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you weren't willing. How often have moms wanted to get their kids closer, wanted to care for them, but they wouldn't let them? You know, either when they're young and they're kind of growing in this independence, and when you say, come here, they immediately go the other direction. Or when they're older and they just don't really think about their parents that much. And especially boys, it seems like, don't give that much thought about their moms. And all their moms really want to do is just to have them close, to be in their life, to have them in their life, to be able to love on them, be kind to them, do good things for them. And Jesus says, that's exactly how I feel. And it breaks my heart when I can't give as much as I want to give and I can't be as close as I want to be to them. I'm not sure why I have this last one down here. It's here, so I'll just mention it because it's probably in your notes. I understand a little bit. It says, God understands keeping a home and trying to find things. The only thing I don't like about using that is, well, of course, in Jesus' day and more patriarchal areas, well, probably even in our, okay, never mind. I know why it's there. Because even in our day, women seem to take much more responsibility in general for the care of our homes. I almost feel embarrassed to say that because I think, God, we should be doing a whole lot more than we are. Luke 15:8, one of the examples Jesus is giving, he's telling stories about how God responds to lost things. And one of the examples he gives in Luke 15:8, or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one, doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? I know I've seen Donna many times, she can't find something and just going through everything until we find what it is that we need. I'm like, good job, you know. And what I'm trying to say about these, and I want to talk just a little bit more. What I see is that God experiences life both as, I'll say it this way, and I don't want to confuse, as a man and a woman. God experiences life both from a feminine perspective and from a masculine perspective. And if you think as a woman that God doesn't get you, he doesn't understand you, that's wrong. And I think these scriptures give us quite a bit of insight on just how much God does experience life from the perspective of a feminine perspective. Part of the reason is because God embodies the qualities of masculine and feminine. And I'm using that language even than male and female. Male and female, we know particularly in terms of our bodies, our physicality, and our biology and our chemistry. But the qualities we talk about that maybe generally are associated with male and female are qualities that transcend the kind of body that we have or our chemistry. These are qualities all shared by God. And then when he creates us, he gives unique expression to those qualities in the form of men and women, but only together do they really capture who God is. So in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, God says, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. One thing that tells me is whatever all those qualities, they are all good and they are all godly. Now, I don't mean any, you know, sinful aspects of the way we carry some of those out, but those qualities that we tend to see generally as identified more with men or more with women, they all come from God. And it's only as those are given expression together that they give the best representation of God and reflect his image. And so I would say we need masculine and feminine as a community and as individuals. We are not sufficiently whole, and we do not sufficiently give expression to God and how he is and how he thinks and how he feels and how he acts unless we've got it all. So I made this statement in my notes. I said, we are not striving to be more masculine or more feminine, but to be more human. And so to be more godly. Now, it doesn't mean that those qualities, we'll say a quality of strength, if we say generally that's associated with men, that we don't want to be better in our exercise of that quality, but we're not trying to be extremes. Whoa, I could tell he's, now there's a masculine man, because he's totally absent of any of the qualities that we find working, you know, in women. What we want is to be more like God, who's captured in a healthy way, obviously, all of these qualities that are part of who he is. I asked him to give me this little kind of graph, and I was just thinking about it like this, both, say, as a community, but I'd also say as individuals, you know, if you're on the extreme one way or another, whether it's feminine or masculine, on the extreme says you just have very little. I mean, which guy wants very little to no sensitivity? Which woman, if we were to put them in these categories, wants very little to no decisiveness? No. So if I'm on the end here of the masculine, the more I move closer to the center, I'm also experiencing and able to exhibit the qualities that we typically associate with the feminine, which makes me a wholer person and more able to respond to whatever is needed, whenever it's needed. And I don't have to say all the time, I actually can't help you. I need to go find a woman, you know. Oh, go back there a second for me. No, back to where you were. I think basically probably what we'd find with most of us is the men are dominant typically in the what we consider more masculine qualities. But as we grow and mature, we're learning to respond, to experience with qualities that generally we find in the women around us. And the reverse is true for women as well. I thought, which of these don't you want? And, you know, it's kind of hard. I don't know exactly which qualities to put in the masculine side and which on the feminine side all the time. So, but which of these don't you want? And don't get mad at me for if you're thinking, you're saying that's like a strength of men? Which of these wouldn't you want? Emotional intelligence, relational capacity, nurturing, responsiveness, sensitivity, intuitiveness, creativity, being practical? Or would you rather not have power or strength or logic or decisiveness or protectiveness or being determined or being visionary? Which of those don't you want in your life and part of the mix of who you are? I can't think of any of them that I don't want as part of my life. We know the extremes, but we know them as caricatures fit for jokes, movies, and sitcoms. You know, any guy that like just doesn't get people, doesn't get his kids, you know, is like, we think that's somebody to laugh at and to make fun of. And any woman that we see that's just emotionally out of control and doesn't seem to be able to reason well, we think, oh, that's a joke, you know, we're making fun of her. Because no one wants to be like either of those. So I thought we have Tim Allen, who always plays parts, you know, of the guy who always does the wrong things, doesn't really know how to raise his kids, is insensitive to people and especially to women. Or I thought the newer one on the other side is probably Sofia Vergara, who's in Modern Family, and the mom who's like never calm, always, you know, upset and kind of out there on the edge. And we laugh. They're designed to make us laugh because we say there is something really wrong with a person who's like that. The person we appreciate is the person who has all these qualities in some degree at work in their lives and able to bring them to bear. God is such a person. So then, you know, I could do the same sermon, and maybe I will on Father's Day, the other side. So then, and I'll just say this to the women here. Be affirmed. God has your qualities, and that means they're good. Be assured, God gets you. He can relate to you. He experiences the world like you. And I don't know, maybe because I'm a guy and I experience it as I do. Do women think that way? Do you think, of course, God experiences the world like I do? I don't know if you think that way or not, but I'm saying I'm recommending that because God has all your qualities. They all come from Him. I would say, be at peace. You should be at ease with who you are as a woman and your unique combination of feminine and masculine qualities is a reflection of God and the growing maturity of your life. And I'm not here to tell anybody, you know, what your sort of combination is of the qualities that we associate with masculine and feminine. God's growing you. He's made you. You are a unique person. But you should be at peace at who you are and the degree to which God is growing both of these kinds of qualities in your life. I would say be healed. Reject the stereotypes and the labels and accept your feminine and masculine qualities. I mean, we all like to make fun of each other. And basically, we focus in on kind of the perversity of either the dominant male or dominant female qualities. And we put each other down. And we try to tell each other, this is what you are and this is all you'll ever be. You know, insensitive guys, you're dumb women. You know, whatever it is we do. We need to be healed and reject those stereotypes. That we need to only be this or only be that. And I'd say the last thing is you need to be you. You should bring you to the family of God and to the church because we need you. We need to learn from you. We need your perspective. We need you to complement our community of men and women. I want to just pray a second and then we're going to wrap up here. Let me just pray. Father, I want to thank you for your wisdom and for your creativity in making men and women and giving us masculine and feminine qualities that give the best expression of you, of your heart, of your life, of how you live and how you experience the world. Thank you for that, Lord. I thank you that you've given us to each other, that as men and women, we experience you more fully and we represent you more fully in our world. And I thank you that you're maturing all of us, Lord, that you're breaking fears, that you're delivering us from stereotypes, and that you're giving us the ability to appreciate one another and appreciate all the qualities that you're growing in our lives individually as godly people. And I pray, just continue to work this in us, Lord, and set us free. Set us free, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hey, have a great day today. Thanks for being here, and I'll see you next week.